the way, again, Jesus teaches us. And just say, it's so backwards what the world says. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Look at your Bible. What does it say there? They're persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's not being persecuted for sinful anger, sinful rage, or sinful self-righteousness raging against the culture that you live in. That's not what's being said here. It's being blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for Christ in them sake.
Hey listeners, Shannon here from Live in the Light. Glad to have you here with us today as we are still in Matthew 5. Hey, this is the last of our Beatitudes as we look at verses 9 through 12, the peacemakers and the persecuted. Jesus' words here in Matthew 5 are the pathway to blessing, the how-tos of the Christian life, maybe if you want to look at it that way. If we are starting to model our lives after the life of Jesus, which we should be, this is a great starting point. Hey, today we launch with the elusive peace. And I'd venture to say that peace is one of the most sought after virtues. Don't you think, Robbie? Why is peace so hard to find?
Well, I mean, it's peace and being a peacemaker. Jesus is getting into the nitty gritty again of what it means to see him working in our lives. And you're right, Shannon, some very difficult areas. Blessed are the peacemakers, and then the astounding statement, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So, I mean, we're living in a world that is increasingly coming against the things of Jesus Christ, and so these two exhortations and promises of blessing are massive for our lives right now. I think we feel it each day, and that's a great comfort and encouragement for us, again, to pursue what it means to make peace in the definition of Jesus, and to understand when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, this is actually a guaranteed blessing upon your life. So we're excited, the greatest sermon ever given by the greatest person who ever lived, promising some of the greatest blessing we can have here on earth. Wow, that's something I want to listen to. Bless you, Live in the Light listeners. As always, we love our power partners that are willing to donate $30 each month to see God's word go out and change lives. If God is calling you to be a power partner with Live in the Light, do not waste a moment. We would love that. That'd be such an encouragement to us to see more people reached again with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here we go, Shannon.
Here we go, back in Matthew 5, today verses 9 through 12. Let's open our Bibles together and get started.
Amen, amen. Please open your Bibles to Matthew 5. I love that beautiful recap video there of the Beatitudes. We're going to wrap up the Beatitudes today. Lord willing, as we've gone through the Beatitudes, such an exercise of spiritual health. I really hope that has been the case for you as we've gone through this. Beatitudes are special, so powerful and so needed. We're going to have one final Beatitude couplet we're going to unpack today. This is expressed in our sermon title. Our sermon title is The Peacemakers and the Persecuted. The Peacemakers and the Persecuted. And both of these, listen, both of these are guaranteed to know the blessing of God. Jesus has said that all throughout. In Matthew 5, again, in the Beatitudes, he's like, hey, this is the life that I will bless. And I want to make sure that we understand that. I want to make sure that we see that. I want to make sure we can't really say it enough, okay? So I'll just say it one more time at least, and many times, hopefully, in the years to come as well. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 3 to 12, he's like, I guarantee to bless the individual, the man or woman who follows this path. Like, I guarantee contentment. I guarantee joy the world has no idea about. I guarantee a happiness, he says. I guarantee a fulfillment. He's like, you cannot go wrong. It is a hard path. It is a narrow path. It is a anti-worldly path, but it is the path of Jesus Christ. And he's like, I guarantee that your life will be blessed as you obey me and seek to have character in your life founded on such foundation. And let me say this too, church, okay? This is so important. We're going to wrap up the Beatitudes today, but we never, ever move on from the Beatitudes. Again, they are the very foundation of character, which then leads to conduct. There's a reason the Sermon on the Mount starts with the Beatitudes, because everything else that is to come, without the foundation of the character, the conduct will not happen, okay? I'll say it again. Don't ever move on from the Beatitudes. Find a way to come back again and again and again to remind yourself of the person that God guarantees to work in. I think about this stuff, I mean, certainly weekly, if not daily on some form or another. I cannot tire of reminding ourselves and our leaders and staff and family, whatever, this is the person that God guarantees to work within. So you put all your eggs in the basket of Beatitudes. Listen, you're gonna be good. It will not be easy. In fact, it'll be hard, but you'll be good. And more than good, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed as only Jesus Christ can do, as only the Holy Spirit can fill. Again, the world has no clue what this is about. But Jesus says, that's the point. My kingdom is not like this world. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is so different and set apart, but it is the kingdom of eternal contentment, joy, fulfillment, and blessing. So we wrap up today, but we never wrap up in that sense. All the way till when Christ returns, God help us. God help us. Matthew 5, verses 9 to 12. Take a look. Bible's open, I pray. Pen's ready, eager to be changed by the very word of God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amazing. Verse 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. Notice, on my account, Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. Why? Your reward is great in heaven. And be encouraged because they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's not just you or me or us. This has been happening for a long, long time. The reward is great in heaven. So here we go. We're going to see the blessing of God is guaranteed. Again, the blessing of God is guaranteed. Number one, for who? For those who are promoters of peace. The blessing of God is guaranteed for peacemakers, guaranteed for those who promote peace with their lives in the name of Jesus. Again, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's start with this truth here today, okay, ready? Jesus Christ is the single greatest promoter of peace in the history of the world. Jesus Christ, after all, Isaiah 9, is prophesied as the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He came. Again, maybe you're new here to the church. Maybe you haven't been in church ever before. I'm so glad you're here. Maybe you're searching out the Christian life. I'm not sure. Again, so, so glad you're here. Man, if you know anything, again, in this life, the reason Jesus Christ came was to live a perfect life that you and I could not because we have sin, and to die a death on our behalf that our sins might be forgiven, what? That we might have peace with God. Jesus Christ came to bring peace between sinful man and a holy God. The cross, again, he dies on, allows man now to be brought back together to God in peace with him. See, Christmas is about peace. Think about that. When the angels announced to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Some of you heard that from Charlie Brown many times, right? Right? And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The purpose of Christmas is God loving humanity to make them at peace with him, that they are reconciled back to God. When Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, he says multiple times to his disciples, after he was raised from the dead, defeating death forever, he shows up to his disciples and he says, peace be with you. Okay, now just live in the text for a second, okay? You're a disciple. Friday happened. Jesus died. You are beside yourself in grief and mourning. This Messiah, he's dead. And you didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't understand the resurrection at that point. Jesus is raised from the dead. They see the resurrected Jesus Christ. He appears to them. He says, peace be with you. You see him. You believe it. Imagine the peace you would feel in that moment. You'd be like, oh, yeah, we're good. Yeah, I think we're good. Our Savior has died. He died for our sins. He's been raised from the dead. Sin, death, and Satan has no hold on him. He is the King of the universe forever and ever. I belong to him. I like my chances. Peace. Like, honestly, you imagine the peace they would have felt as Jesus says, peace be with you. And they're like, let's do this, man. This is exciting. That's what Jesus Christ brings as well. Romans 5. For we've been justified by faith, not by works. Not sure who's here today again. If you come in thinking you can earn your way to heaven by good deeds, wrong. Not in the Bible, not in the Bible, not in the Bible. Here's what is in the Bible. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore we have peace with God through, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ came. So before, maybe you're here right now, maybe you're not saved in Jesus Christ. Again, so glad you're here, but I pray today is the day your life changes, maybe overflow, maybe watching in Orangeville. If you don't know Christ, the Bible says, Romans 5, we're not at peace with God. We are actually enemies of God. We are at enmity with God because of our sin that's not forgiven. But you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, all that sin is cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and forgiveness is yours. And now you are at peace with God because you have believed in the one who forgives your sins. His name is Jesus Christ, and he was raised from the dead. See, Jesus Christ is the greatest peacemaker ever. He is the single greatest promoter of peace the world has ever known. One more verse, Romans 16 says this, and the God of peace, fascinating. And the God of peace, listen, will soon crush Satan underneath his feet. Amazing, eh? The God of peace, the author of life, salvation, and peace, will soon return through his son, Jesus Christ, and destroy the author of evil, Satan, the author of disorder, Satan, the author of all, again, deception and chaos, Satan, the devil. He will crush him and thereby establishing, this is our hope for the peace to come, the peace we feel in Christ, but the ultimate peace that is to come with the return of Jesus Christ, where Satan is once and forever crushed, and we see Jesus Christ forever face to face in eternity. Man, the Bible, the gospel, Jesus Christ has a lot to say about peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He has come to bring peace. So he is the greatest promoter of peace. But listen, for those of us who are saved now in Jesus Christ, blessed are the peacemakers, we are called now to bring this message of peace to a lost and dying world. We carry with us the message of peace. That is the gospel of peace. We are called ambassadors of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5. We have been tasked with the mission to make disciples, to witness to people that they might have peace with God also through Jesus Christ alone. Let us remember that Christ is the peacemaker. We are commissioned now to be peacemakers in this sense, to bring the gospel to those who desperately need peace as well. I've been renewed recently and just hearing a teacher preach and just renewed in my life to do this. And I want all of you to share in this as well. I want all of us as peacemakers, promoters of peace in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want all of us to have five people we are praying for on a regular basis who need the peace of God in their lives, who need to be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're already doing this. Praise the Lord. Keep it going. I have my list on my phone. And I am dedicated and resolved to be praying for at least five, there's gonna be more, but at least five people that I want so much to see salvation enter their lives and for them to know the peace of God that is through faith in Christ. I want all of you who are part of this church and who are truly saved in Christ to do the same thing. Can you imagine if all of us did that? If all of us regularly prayed for five people, do you think God would hear that prayer? Yeah, he would. Think God would use that prayer? Yes, he would, and he will. He will. The power of even that right now, because what? We are promoters of peace. We are peacemakers. We have the gospel of peace to a world that is desperately searching again for the truth, that they might be reconciled to the Lord. There's so many out there who are waiting for us to be used to share the message of peace for those who are stuck and lost in their sin. So Jesus Christ, the promoter of peace, we carry the message of peace. But I think what's happening too is we sing, blessed are the peacemakers, okay? I think what's really happening within this verse in verse 9 is that we are to be promoters of everyday peace. And what I mean by that is that we are to be promoters of relational peace and interpersonal peace. Everything I said thus far is so true, obviously. Christ, the Prince of Peace, we carry the gospel of peace. But I think what Jesus is mostly saying is the emphasis that we would promote peace in our lives on an everyday basis, relationally and interpersonally. You could say it this way. The peacemaker are those who promote peace or preserve peace where it is and also who promote peace where it is not. I'll say that again. Here's the peacemaker according to, again, Christ. We seek to preserve peace where it is and to promote peace where it is not. Think of it this way too, church, ready? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and yes, and peace, right? And you think the fruit is not individual fruits. It's a one fruit that's kind of all together in a cluster, so to speak. So love, joy, peace, right? Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all those things promote peace. They all promote one another. The more we have the Holy Spirit living in our lives, the more we are being used to promote peace in the lives that we are engaged with on a daily basis. It's so beautiful. That's what the Spirit does in our lives. Blessed are the peacemakers. This is where we are encouraged what? To forgive. We are encouraged to encourage others. We give grace. We reconcile with others. We speak well of others. We believe the best of other people. That's what love does. All of these things create more peace in our lives. This is a good question for us today, too. A good question for us today is this. Would you say, like in all honesty, before the Lord, right now in this place, listening wherever you are, would you say that you are more of a peacemaker or a peace taker? Would you be someone who promotes peace mostly around you or someone who removes peace in the situations you define yourself? Another way to say it is, would you classify yourself as a promoter of peace or a disturber of the peace? I mean, if you really want to know, ask someone who you live with, right? I mean, that's what, if you want the honest answer, and they should be able to give it to you, to people who know you quite well. Are we peacemakers or are we peace takers, a promoter of peace or a disturber of the peace? It's interesting, you know, disturber of the peace. We have bylaws set up in all these communities against those who disturb the peace, primarily around noise. And because what happens? A disturber of the peace is annoying and disruptive and kind of ruins the peace of people. Well, a disturber of the peace spiritually, there's bylaws in our communities. There's the law of God before us right now. And disturbers of the peace, man, they create a lot of havoc. They are annoying. They are disruptive. They create division. They go in there and use the flesh and Satan to really disrupt the things of the Lord and create such hurt again for the church and families and relationship and marriage and friendships and on and on and on. What do peacetakers do? Peacetakers are the ones who gossip. They're ones who whisper about others. They are ones who move in selfishness, who slander, who intentionally try to create division. Disturbers of the peace are those who are fueled by jealousy and envy and fits of anger and strife and rivalries. Just quoting verses right now for you. And they're rooted in selfishness. Peacetakers are brutal, man. I remember when Jill and I and both of us were fairly new believers and I was kind of in my path towards going into ministry. We found ourselves in a church, in a congregational meeting. I didn't grow up with that church government growing up in the church, but our first congregational meeting, and we're sitting there, we're a little bit excited. Hey, what's gonna happen here? Economy's gonna be good, whatever. It wasn't good. It wasn't good at all, all right? It was a disaster. I mean, I was in the congregational meeting and people started standing up and spewing things at each other and fighting and venom was all. And Joe and I were sitting there, we were devastated. We're like, what is this? Like fairly new believers and be like, this isn't the fruit of the Spirit. This is anti-spirit. This is attacking one another. What is happening? And this, it was awful. Very disheartening. Of course, God wastes nothing. Until they see that is not of the Holy Spirit. That is completely peacetakers. The lowest common denominator trying to ruin the church that Jesus Christ, again, is situated within. That was such a telling time. And again, not very encouraging. What's such an important insight here too, right? If we have a strong tendency towards being a peacetaker, if our pattern is more disturbing the peace than being promoters of peace, here's what we have to understand, okay? If that's our pattern in life, something's wrong here. Something's wrong here, if that's our pattern. And again, I'm praying there'll be enough humility right now for us to admit if this is kind of the path we take most often. What peace takers tend to do in disturbers of the peace is they tend to blame everyone else. Well, this is what sin does. They blame everyone else around them, and they're always justifying their behavior because someone else did something against them. And there's hardly ever, if ever, any accountability for themselves and the sin that reigns within that is actually ruining their life, heart, and affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. If that would be the pattern that we would admit is happening, then my recommendation is you leave verse 9 right now and go back to verse 3 and then move very slowly from there. Because what happened is the Beatitudes are in chronological order for a reason. Peacemakers come from those who are pure in heart and those who are merciful and those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness and those who are meek and those who are mourn and those who are poor in spirit. Peacemakers don't just come up by themselves, but go back to verse 3 and say, am I poor in spirit? Am I mourning over personal sin? Do I desire meekness? Am I hungry and thirsting for righteousness? Because when that is real, then inevitably the fruit grows from the Beatitudes leading into the merciful and those who desire to make peace with their lives. Also right now, if you find this is more your pattern of peace taking and disturber of the peace, and I've pointed that out right now and something's wrong within, if you're mad at me right now, that's further confirmation that you have a problem, okay? Because again, you're trying to blame other people as opposed to taking responsibility for the thing that's wrecking our hearts within and the thing that God wants to love you and grace you and forgive you with, that his peace might be found in you and then his peace might be seen from you as well. You've been part of our church for any period of time. You know how I love to be clear as possible. Notice Jesus, sometimes we miss the obvious. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Not blessed are the peace takers. Those who are blessed are those who make peace. This is obvious, let me just point out though. Those who take peace will not be blessed. It's amazing, sometimes we're like, no, I'm a disturber of the peace, but I'll be blessed. No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. No, I will. No, you won't. No, you won't. There's just no way. Peace-taking's never blessed. Going around creating divisions, never blessed. Gossiping's never blessed. Sin's never blessed. Never, ever, ever blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's really interesting too, eh? What does it mean the peacemakers will be called sons of God? It means this, okay? It means those who spread peace in the gospel, those who spread peace relationally in the name of Jesus Christ, they are taking on the attributes of the Father they belong to. You know the phrase like father, like son? Hey, he's the chip off the old block. That's what's happening here. Those who make peace in Christ with others are acting like their father. They are acting like the one they have been conceived from. Born again, new creations, disciples of Christ, transformed into the image. The more we are transformed into Jesus, the more we spread peace from our lives like father, like son. One of the ways we know we're really growing in Christ is we see more peace coming from our lives. Here's a great application too, I think, for today. Think of all the family events today and tomorrow and this weekend. How can the Holy Spirit move in your life, maybe to literally this afternoon, to be a peacemaker in the situations you find yourself in? I'm a human being, man, so I know there's a lot of stuff that happens in families, right? I got my own situations. The complexity, the difficulty, the relational, whatever it is. How can you and I be used today or tomorrow to make peace because we love Jesus Christ and because what he's done for us? Just don't want to rush. I want to give time for the Holy Spirit to apply. Listen. If we respond in obedience to being peacemakers, here's the guarantee, blessing. The guarantee is blessing. Robbie, it's hard, I know. Christ promises blessing. Robbie, man, the situation, the difficulties, trust me, I know. He promises blessing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they act out the reality that they are adopted as sons and daughters of God. Here's the second thing we see today. in our message. The blessing of God is guaranteed for those who, changing gears a bit, who suffer persecution. The blessing of God is for those who suffer persecution. So look at verse 10 now. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I want us to see here, and I need us to confirm without a doubt, for the believer in Jesus Christ, if you look at these verses right in front of us today, for the believer in Jesus Christ, persecution is a good sign. It's so weird to say such things, and yet it's so biblical. In fact, one of the ways that we know we're truly saved in Jesus Christ is there will be opposition to the light that is shining from our lives at times. You're reading the same Bible I am, right? I want you to see right here, just showing every verse we're going through right now, right? Jesus is not ambiguous. He says, the life I bless, the life that I favor, the life of purpose, the life of fulfillment. I mean, strangely so, the life of happiness is the life that will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Let me point out too, this truth is not often found within popular best-selling Christian books. It never seems to make into the sermons of the prosperity preachers or those who are obsessed with kind of feel-good self-esteem authors. Why doesn't it make it into the sermons and into those best-selling books most often? It's because it doesn't sell. This doesn't sell. Verse 11 or verse 10 and 12, it doesn't sell, man. Oh, the world wants to hear. Blessed are the persecuted. They want to hear the opposite of that. But notice, it made it into Jesus' sermon. And it made into his book several times over. Categorically speaking, persecution guarantees blessing in Jesus' name. So strange. Upside down kingdom, man. This is the way, again, Jesus teaches us. And just say it's so backwards what the world says. But notice, this is very important, okay? Blessed are the persecuted. Doesn't stop there, though. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Look at your Bible. What does it say there? For persecuted for righteousness' sake. Very, very important, okay? So this is not blessed are those who are persecuted for being a jerk. It's not blessed are those who are persecuted for being a fanatical legalist. It's not about being persecuted for smashing people over the head with your Bible. It's not being persecuted for sinful anger, sinful rage, or sinful self-righteousness raging against the culture that you live in. That's not what's being said here. It's being blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for Christ in them sake. It's amazing to me how many people are dying on hills that Jesus is not dying on. They rush the hill. Let's go over the... And Jesus is like, I'm not with you, man. Like, I never said I'm doing that. I'm dying on these hills here in my word. Those are the hills I'm dying on. And they're like, we're going over here. And they take the name of Christ with them, and Christ isn't with them himself. And they go off on their own parade or whatever it is and trying to justify their own passions and stuff. And meanwhile, Jesus is back here remaining true exactly to what he said in his word. And wisdom says, I'm not going to die in hills that Jesus is not dying on, but I will die in every single hill that Jesus himself is choosing to die on. So rather, persecution is blessed when it is looking like, living like the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What does that look like in our day? So many different things, but at its base and foundation, it's we will, in this church, Lord willing, God help us, 100% stand for the truth that is found in the Word of God.
Our team here at Live in the Light would like to thank you for tuning in to today's message. Each day, this ministry strives to see the kingdom of God advance, and this can only be done through the generosity of our power partners. To learn how to become a power partner, or simply to learn more about Live in the Light, visit liveinthelight.ca. Please join us again next time here on Live in the Light. I wanna-